here. And the amount of grace this church showed us as I was learning to pastor is phenomenal. And we hold you so dear in our hearts. Our girls were born here and dedicated here in this church, so it's particularly meaningful. So you are so meaningful to us. And our local church in Maryland, Cross Point Church in Arnold, Maryland, just outside of Annapolis, feels an incredible amount of affection for you. Even though many of you have not met people from our church, they know you well. They've heard many stories about this church and about how God has used this church, and are very grateful and pray often for you. So we come just filled with thanksgiving, filled with full hearts, and filled with a spirit of unity that God alone could do through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and through life together and just being nourished in that. So we're so thankful for that. But you didn't come here. I didn't come here. First and foremost, to hear me talk, we came here to hear from the word of the Lord. So let's get to that. You can turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at Philippians 1 through 11 today. As you're turning there, if any of you know me, you will not be surprised to hear that I'm starting this message with an illustration related to World War II. You know I love World War II. On the 16th of February, 1943, there were six Norwegian special agents who were clandestinely dropped into a very rugged, almost frozen tundra-like forest near Vemork in Norway. And they joined five more agents to form what was known as the Gunnerside Team. Their target was a hydroelectric plant, and in this plant, the Nazis were producing something called heavy water, which was used to control atomic reactions. So the Nazis were taking a different approach than what the Americans used in order to get to atomic reactions, and they were reliant upon this water that was available in Norway, and they were doing processes in order to extract something called heavy water. Now, the Nazis were very close to being able to possess an atomic bomb. They were actually ahead of the Americans, and this plant was a key to the Nazis' effort. On the 28th of February, the team stealthily navigated to the plant where this production was going on, and each man had to do his job with precision. They planted explosives and made an escape, destroying over 1,000 pounds of heavy water. Now, this is the team. This is a picture of the team after a portion of the team. As I said, there were actually 11 or 12 of them on the team, and these are the ones that made their way back to England, and this is a picture of them after the mission was over. Now, if the Nazis had developed the atom bomb before the Americans, they would have easily dominated Europe. Gunnerside set the Nazis well behind the Americans in the race for atomic weapons, so it flipped the table. The mission was impossible as a solo effort. There was no way they could have done what they did in Operation Gunnerside with just a single person going in. It required a team. But they weren't just a team of soldiers. These men, some of them had a long history of friendship. They were friends who carried on their friendship after the war. They cared for each other. They had each other's backs. They shared a passion to protect their country. I start with this illustration because it illustrates a particular truth, that so often a mission success depends on the strength of the partnership of those involved. Paul, the Apostle Paul, knew this well. It's the emphasis of the text that's before us today, Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Paul writes this particular letter to a church that he cares dearly for. He writes to strengthen their unity, to help them focus on gospel mission, and to build their confidence in where the real source of their power is, in Jesus Christ himself. This title, the sermon is titled very simply, Gospel Partnership. And it's a text that invites us to join God's glorious and certain mission by partnering together. Say that again. Join God's glorious and certain mission by partnering together. You know, God's glorious mission is to see the gospel reach to the ends of the earth and to redeem the lost. So we are both beneficiaries of God's mission and partners in this glorious mission. This means that it's not a mission reserved for elite special forces, those Christians that just really seem to be gregarious and really connect with people. They're the ones that are on the front lines. The rest of us just don't do anything. No, this is a mission for you and for me, normal, ordinary Christians, and for little churches in Arnold, Maryland, and for Souderton, Pennsylvania, and all over the globe. Brothers and sisters, we all play a part. We are not renegades. We are partners, and we are directed by God and joined together for his glory. So in light of that, let's join God's glorious and certain mission by partnering together. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version of Scripture. This is the word of the Lord. Let this word affect and strengthen your heart this morning as the Spirit of God moves among us. And then we'll pray and ask God to enliven and illuminate his word. Let's pray together. Let's read together and then pray. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you, Lord, for your mission heart. Lord, that you looked upon our helpless state and led us to the cross. You sent your son, the great missionary, the missionary par excellence, to come and rescue us. Jesus, thank you that you left the treasure of heaven. You left what was glorious and beautiful from eternity past, not to be served, but to come and serve and give your life a ransom for many. We thank you, Jesus, that you came for us. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are pursuing us now. This word today is you pursuing us. And Holy Spirit, we ask and invite and submit to your leading and guiding. May the word of Christ stand as powerful as you pursue us and as we respond and we join you in your glorious mission so that you might receive glory and honor and praise. You are the glorious one, Father. You are the glorious one, Jesus. You are filled with an intention to draw our attention to Jesus and to the Father, Holy Spirit. So we submit to you and ask, would you have your way now for your glory? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's just go through the text and then we'll draw some application. I'm going to also, this isn't a sort of full exegesis of the text. I'd like to do that, but you know I'm long-winded, those of you that know me. So you also want to get to the food, so I'll respect that. And we'll go through a little bit of an update of what's going on with our family along the way here too. So let's start with the text. That's the most important place to start. Paul first visited this city of Philippi in around 51 AD, and that was on his second missionary journey. And as he visited Philippi on his second missionary journey, I think we have a map of that as well, so you could just get a sense of where he was traveling. The first European church was born. And early converts like Lydia and Epaphroditus that we read about in scriptures, they were saved here in this little church in Philippi. He also stayed in Philippi on his third journey about 3.5 years, 3.5 to 5 years later. It's now, at the time of this writing, about 62 AD, so roughly 11 years later, and Paul is in a Roman prison. He's facing the reality that he's going to die at Caesar's hand. And he carries the Philippians on his heart. You notice he's not self-absorbed. He's not thinking, oh, what's going to happen? I'm so worried about me and my little turf. He carries the Philippians on his heart. In his last days on earth, he's thinking about his brothers and sisters. And his greeting, therefore, is intentional. He begins, Paul and Timothy. In other words, what he's saying, I'm not a one-man show. I'm going to fade from this earth. It's going to be okay. I have a partner, Timothy. And then he goes on to say he sees himself as a servant or a bondservant, which means that Paul and Timothy are bound to the authority of another. This isn't Paul's mission. There's the authority of another that Paul has in view, namely Jesus Christ. And then Paul's focus is on all of the saints, including the leaders, the deacons, the overseers. So what follows concerns the entirety of God's people. This letter is church-focused, not leader-centric. In the greeting, we're meant to see that our mission is shared and led by Christ. As that great theological treatise says, High School Musical, we're all in this together. That's a joke. It's not a great theological treatise, in case you were wondering. Don't go there for your theology. Moving on to verse 3, Paul gives thanks for them. Paul's not being sentimental. It's not just like, oh, I'm so thankful for you. These are cords that tie life together. We have memories in life that are about how we're integrated in one another's life. And that's by God's doing. Grace Community, you have this. I have this with you. Our family has this with you. You probably, as I begin to say some of these things will come to mind. You remember certain outreaches that you've done together and sharing ministry with brothers and sisters. You remember conversations after church or at care group or over a fellowship meal. You remember walking through family tragedies together. You remember triumphs. Adoptions, transitions, baptisms, weddings, funerals, graduations. You know, Robin and I have such incredibly fond memories of living life together here. This is the church that taught us to cherish and engage in gospel community and how to share the goodness of Jesus' work on the cross 2,000 years in real time in life, and how that makes such an incredible impact in how we love our spouse and parent our children and love our neighbor and serve our community and reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are real cords. They're not just sentiments. These are real concrete things that God has given to us. See, the church, unlike every organization in the world, the church is an intensely interwoven reality. Being in gospel partnership means our lives are sewn together. So Paul's prayer for them, as he brings them to his heavenly Father, as his life is fading, and he wants to give them the greatest blessing he can give to them, he's praying for them, and he's praying for them in light of their shared past. Now notice what happens in verse 4. This shared past isn't an insulated local church bubble reality. He's praying for their well-being as a joyful investment in them, but where is he doing it from? He's doing it from a great distance, and he's doing it in fervent prayer, even though he's separated by thousands of miles from them. Why? because they are his people. Even if there's distance between them, they are together. They are interdependent. They are gospel partners. That's what verse 5 says. They're intertwined, locked at the hip, inextricably linked together, though separated by many miles. The term we use for this theologically is interdependence. From Paul's first day in Philippi until he penned this letter, there are cords of gospel relationship that draw them together as people. Everything Paul goes through, they go through. You know, as I said a few moments ago, our local church loves this local church. We pray for you. We've been staying up to date about how life is going on here and celebrating. And when I get a chance to get together with Jeremy, either a phone call or at a conference or emails, texts back and forth, it is such a joy to my heart. And I share that with our elder team and with our church about how God is on the move in Grace Community Church. And when there are struggles and trials, we pray for you that the God of all peace and comfort and grace would rise up in the midst of this church, our brothers and sisters. And we are not forgetting for a moment how Grace Community Church stood with us as a church 9 years ago. It was about 9 years ago this month, 5 days from now, that we moved from Lansdale to Arnold, Maryland. And you stood with us so that we could lead and serve in Arnold, Maryland. See, my point in saying this isn't sentimentality. This isn't some like distant thing that went on in Paul's time and we don't really have a connection to that. No, this is going on every day in our world and we enjoy that partnership. We are connected by Christ's work. So all that to say, in other words, the outworking of the mission of God's church, the goal of partnership is to see other existing churches strengthened and new churches planted in an ever-expanding global net of grace through local churches so that unreached people would be reached. They would become children of God, joined to God's family, and that we would be partners together to see that effort take place and come to fruition. But there's a reality to this too, isn't there? There's a temptation, an obstacle. We can look at the church, our churches, and we can feel frail. We're a church of about 100, 120 people, something like that. It's really hard to tell it with after COVID, right? This is a church of what, about 150 people or so in the room, 200? I don't know. I don't count real well. I lost that ability when I stopped being an engineer. But we look at ourselves and we wonder, like, what can we accomplish? Who are we? We're little. We're not mighty. And we feel vulnerable at times, right? Because there's so much stuff going on inside the church. How can we have any effect outside the church? We might even be tempted to be afraid and fearful that our church will just fail at this mission God has given us. And what are we going to say when we stand together as Grace Community Church or Crosspoint Church? What are we going to say on that day? Are we going to be counted as failures? That's why right on the heels of all of this comes verse 6. Look at verse 6. Having looked back at their shared history, Paul directs their attention forward in confidence to their certain future. What God started, God will complete. What God began, there is not a question in God's own mind. Yeah, there are questions in your mind. I get it. You're weak, you're frail. But in God's mind, there is not a question. It will come to completion. He is moving. He is doing something. Even when you feel frail and at your weakest, God's strength never falters. He will bring it to completion. You know, oftentimes we take verse 6 way out of context and it becomes a graduation card. Timmy, God made you good at math. You'll do well in university and then you'll go on to have a beautiful wife and six kids and a picket fence and a nice, you know, 2.5 dogs running around and probably an electric vehicle. It will be awesome. God's going to complete what he started you in, Timmy. That's not what this is about. I mean, there's a secondary application there. I'm not saying that this doesn't have some individual application, but the primary application, the context of this, it's not about individual endeavors. This is about a corporate reality, the church. What God starts, God completes in his church. So for Philippi, God has been and will continue to be at work. Be confident of your future. You, even when the bank account seems low, even when there are departures, people transitioning, even when there's unsteadiness in the climate around us and we're wondering how to respond to these things, you, Philippi, you will be successful because Jesus Christ himself is in your midst. And that's true for Crosspoint Church. When their pastor of 9 years is moving and a new guy's coming in. And that's true of Grace Community Church with all the transitions and growth that are and growth pains and growth that are going on here. See, we're meant to read this verse and look past all of the circumstantial evidence and instead look to the historical evidence of God at work. God has carried us through. He's carried us through trials, and he's granted us triumph over and over again. We didn't know how it was going to turn out. We thought it wasn't going to go great. We thought we were going to fail, and God met us. So when we find ourselves in seasons of difficulty, God will again meet us. That is going to be Crosspoint's story, Grace Community Church's story, and every other faithful gospel preaching church's story. So when you look back to your shared past, church, and you see what God has done in this church family, it should embolden you and I not to be hesitant to throw ourselves into church, but to be like, yeah, maybe we need to row a little harder right now, and maybe we need to even bail a bit of water today, but you know what? God is doing something, and he's going to be faithful, so I'm throwing myself all in. I'm not going to back away. I'm throwing myself all in because God is on the move. And there's a mission that he has given us. Yeah, there have been trials. Maybe even you feel weak right now. I don't know. You might come to church just so excited about life here together. And I'm thankful for that. I felt excited as I was here together and so filled with faith for the future of Grace Community Church. But maybe you have things going on in your life and you feel unsteady. It's okay. Come in feeling unsteady. It's not about how steady you feel. It's about how rock solid God is. Give yourself to God and give yourself to his local church. Because the mission that he calls us to, brothers and sisters, is certain. It's not about our strength. It's not about our power. It's not about our slickness and our cool graphics. No. It's Jesus himself overseeing and ensuring the outcome of our mission. And brothers and sisters, remember this too. It was King Jesus himself who, as we celebrated in the communion meal, joined us to himself and to the mission of the church. He ordained this by coming as the missionary, laying down his life, dying the death we deserve, taking the full wrath of God that we deserve, and triumphing over sin and death when that grave was cracked open and he walked forward into eternity, the eternity that you and I are certain to gain through faith in him. So if he can't be stopped and we're joined to him, we can't be stopped. The glory of God will be known. It's certain. Paul feels so strongly about this. And he says that in verse 7. You share my life and I share yours. And he reminds them of their interdependency. We feed on the same gospel grace. And he reminds them how they sustained and stood with him when he was on trial before the Roman magistrates. And this wasn't a small thing. This isn't like, oh yeah, Paul, we're with you. You know, I'll put an update on our church Facebook site, hashtag go Paul or something like that. Like, this isn't like some kind of like lip service. No, they stood with him and associated themselves loyally with Paul when he was on trial. The people that were opposed to the church in Philippi, were like, what? You're standing with Paul? Like, that dude, he's in prison. Why are you associating with him? Paul doesn't forget their loyalty. He uses the phrase that they are partakers with me of grace, meaning that what happened to Paul happened to the church in Philippi and vice versa. They were imprisoned with Paul when he was in prison, is what he's trying to say there. So Paul comes to Philippi. He preaches the gospel on his first missionary journey, the first time through there, on his second missionary journey, but first time through there. He preaches the gospel. People get saved from sin and death and the wrath of God for their sin. And then, when Paul himself is in need, those who were once far off are now his nourishment, strengthening him, willingly, joyfully bearing the burdens and praying for him, standing with him as he stands before the Roman tribunal. The one who once bolstered them is now being bolstered by the ones he once bolstered. Paul successfully preaches the powerful testimony of the gospel as he's standing before the Roman tribunal, filled and fueled with a wind at his back of gospel grace of people urging him on from Philippi. Their support enabled him to stand and preach the gospel in Rome. Do you see how glorious gospel partnership is? It extends so much farther than the natural eye can see. Maybe, like in our mind, we might have thought, okay, yeah, Paul, he's Paul. I mean, come on. Other than Jesus, like humanly speaking, he's Paul. Like maybe I, like in a draft pick, I might take him over Moses even. Like this is a pretty bigwig kind of dude, right? But he's not beyond needing the support of his brothers and sisters. They're engaged together. They're peers sharing the same gospel grace of Jesus Christ. How does this occur? Well, look at verses 8 and 9. Paul's affection for them springs from the unstoppable geyser of the love of Christ. His prayer is that a wellspring of love from which Paul himself is drawing will then abound more and more in them, and they will keep bearing fruit. More and more, on and on, they will just keep bearing fruit. They are one with Paul and Paul with them. But this is no mere human bonds. This isn't just friendship and just shared memories the way we have shared memories with our college buddy or something like that. This is through Jesus. This is a cord that binds them together and other local churches together. And from local church to local church, there's a binding together through the shed blood of Christ. And that's what Paul's praying for them, that they would be fueled for the day of Jesus Christ. I'm confident that the work will be completed. Now I'm praying that you would be nourished in all the way till the same day when the work is going to be completed, that you will keep going all the way till that day is complete. That's what he's praying for them. In other words, from first to last, everything is Christ's doing. And yet, we are involved. We are engaged willfully, gladly, and empowered by the work of Christ. And it's also that the purposes of glory would go forward. So because of this, you see in verses 9 through 11, Paul encourages them to move forward in abundant love that is knowledgeable, discerning, well-focused. In other words, part of the mission is loving each other well. He commends them to live lives that are thoughtfully considerate and right and excellent so that they would be blameless. In other words, our personal holiness among our brothers and sisters here in local church and in our private life influences and impacts and strengthens the ongoing mission. So how we live in micro gets expanded out to macro, and it's all interconnected. What we do in our lives matters for the glory of God reverberating around the globe. That's why he's praying that their church community would be filled with righteousness before God, so that on the day of judgment, they would be approved of and they would bring glory and praise to God, just like every other local church that is intertwined together. Paul's confident that God will bring them to completion. He said that in verse 6. But he also instructs them to invest wisely day by day, build in pure and holy ways with the expectation that how we build will be in the end judged by God. You know, this is one of the reasons why I'm so thankful for our family of churches, Sovereign Grace Churches. We're not just a collection of random churches that are under some sort of like distant trademark. Like, yeah, we got to have some sort of brand to slap on our literature. That's not what that's about. We're gospel partners. We're not just together for pragmatic reasons. We share life. We're connected at the heart. Crosspoint Church is joined to Grace Community Church and our sister churches by the bond of Christ's own love for us. So this compels us to build in wise and discerning ways. We seek to follow the guidance of God. We share values that are biblical non-negotiables, like preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with humble servant leaders, building pure and holy churches with servants who are committed to building in relationship. These are just some of the values of how God has called us to be joined together. Now, we aren't perfect. Don't get me wrong. Like, just being part of Sovereign Grace Churches doesn't make you a perfect church. Trust me. But we are committed to being Spirit-led and not self-promoting. This means that we're open-handed and open-hearted in our partnerships. And I love to hear how people just responded to the gift of money going to aid in Ukraine today. Why? Because there's just a generosity and an open-heartedness to serve brothers and sisters across the globe. So we seek to move forward together. We're not going off renegade churches. We're going forward together. This is what Paul was envisioning Philippi for, and every one of the churches that he planted and established elders in and helped stay connected in the early church. And you know what? This is my family's story as well, and it's your shared story. So in July, our family is going to relocate to Italy to plant Sovereign Grace Churches there. One of my friends, when he heard this, said, "Church planting sounds more like you're going on vacation." I get it. Italy. I mean, it's Italy, right? It brings thoughts of beautiful, historic countryside and architecture and all these things where pizza just happens to grow on one tree, and on another tree gelato just happens to be growing, and you can get your dinner or you just reach up and grab a pizza pie, a margarita pizza, and then, you know, feel like dessert, I'll grab it off of this tree. And then lovers are just walking along pristine beaches and sipping wine as they stare into each other's eyes longingly. I mean, don't get me wrong, I enjoy my share of pizza, and I'm going to enjoy my share of pizza, and I look forward to sipping wine and staring longingly into my wife's eyes and all of that. That's going to be good, but our focus is not going on vacation. Why? Because Italy is a country of about 60 million people dominated by Roman Catholic tradition. Not faith, but tradition. It is spiritually dark. It is one of the few places I've been in this world where people will identify themselves simultaneously as a Christian, because I belong to the Roman Catholic Church, and an atheist. I don't believe anything that they teach or anything that the Bible teaches. It is so dark, and it's often forgotten by mission movements. Do you know that less than, and this is a generous estimate, by the way, less than 1%, 1.5% of the country has a knowledge of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've seen that. My family's seen that firsthand. That means that well in excess of 59 million of the 60 million people in Italy are perishing and are hopeless. Excuse me. And on top of that, there are very few gospel outposts. Believers in Italy often have to travel very significant distances to find churches. I'm talking hour-long drives or more. On top of that, the occult, Islam, and secular atheism is rising at an incredibly fast rate. And the country is mired in high taxes and low economic opportunities and high unemployment. So it's young, the people that will be reaching out to build the church for the future, they're leaving. They're going to other parts of Europe to get jobs. So life in Italy, yeah, vacationing in Italy, beautiful, wonderful. But life in Italy is difficult and the need is great. We began, my wife and I, Robin and I, began to learn of this in a visit in 2016. And when we returned to the States, I started studying a little bit more of this for a class I was taking in seminary and began to learn of the great spiritual darkness in Italy. And a burden grew in me to see God's church rise up in Italy. So over the past 6 years, the Lord has made it plain to me, my wife, and my three children, who are 14, 12, and 8, that he was preparing us to go. We had been at Crosspoint for 3 years at the point when this idea first landed on us. I can tell you that was not an easy thing for us to open our hands and say, okay, God, we think you might be preparing us to go. I mean, to pick up and move to a new place where you're not fluent, especially when your children are at such formative ages, this is not a light decision. But the most difficult thing for us is the thought of leaving our local church. When we arrived there 9 years ago from here, a church that we loved and just had such great memories and community, and just there's just such a great environment here for us. We arrived to a church that we believe God was calling us to go to serve, and the church was greatly in need of care. It had been through some real difficult times. So in partnership with Sovereign Grace Churches, we have, by the grace of God, seen that church, Crosspoint Church, grow strong. Do you know that could not have happened without you? Without your investment, without your commitment, without your prayers? Crosspoint Church, the doors might not be open today, but they're open. And it's strong, and it's vibrant, and it's reaching its community. See, your mission efforts have borne great fruit. And if I and Robin have contributed anything positive in Arnold, it's most probably because we learned it here at Grace Community Church. You shaped me. And by his grace, I have had the privilege of helping the church in Arnold. So though we thought we would be in Maryland for the rest of our lives, and very contentedly so, at least until we retired, we could not shake the burden to see the gospel made known in Italy. And you know, the gospel of Jesus is worth so much more than anything else in this life. So we weighed, just Robin and I at first, we weighed what God was calling to do, and we prayed that the Lord would clarify our path, that we would be focused on what the task at hand, at caring for and being part of Crosspoint Church, but clarify our path. Is there some reason you've dropped these things into our heart? Is it from you? And at each step, as time went on, he just continued to strengthen our faith and clarify that he was preparing us to go. But you know, this was not a process that we walked alone. It was commended and supported and shaped by gospel partners that God has given to us, including Jeremy and Chris, as well as we taking every step in our community with our local elders and then our regional Sovereign Grace pastors. Additionally, we knew that we could not leave Crosspoint Church without a pastor to care well for the life of that local church. So one of our big prayers was, Lord, if this is really from you, you got to provide, and you've got to provide very clearly and specifically without hurting another church. So, preaching this morning at Crosspoint Church is my replacement, who will become the lead pastor in just over a month. The Lord moved on a man's name, whose name's Scott Crook. Scott was the lead pastor of a Sovereign Grace Church in Chaska, Minnesota called Cross of Grace. And through our partnership, through what God was doing in Scott's heart and the elders at Cross of Grace, God started moving their church to open their hands and to invest so that Scott and his family would relocate to lead our church so that my family could go to Italy. I want you to know there was no sales job. There was no arm twisting going on in this. There was no departure due to conflict or disgust or anything like that. There was just prayer and discernment together in unity through elder teams, and then as the process moved on, as churches. And the Spirit of God moved as he saw fit. And you know, Cross of Grace was not left without a man to lead. Their associate pastor is an incredibly competent man who was either going to be a lead pastor there, or he was probably going to go and plant another church. He's just a very gifted man who had been serving alongside of Scott, one of Scott's best friends in the world. And the Lord began to move on his heart to step up and lead their church, Cross of Grace Church. Why am I sharing all these details? I'm not saying this to bore you. Hopefully it's not boring to you, but I'm saying this because I want you to hear something going on. Gospel partnership is real and it's taking place. That's who we are. That's why we're together within Sovereign Grace Churches. We are gospel partners. Grace Community Church imprinted on me. I've had an effect in Maryland. Cross of Grace has formed Scott, who will now lead Cross Point Church. The people of Cross of Grace and Grace Community Church are part of Cross Point Church, in other words. There's an effect that you all have had, and Cross of Grace Church in Minnesota has now had on Cross Point Church. And now, as we go to Italy, the net broadens even more. No less than three churches are playing a major part beyond our walls. Local churches in Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota, and soon in Italy, are stronger through partnership. So in other words, if anything good happens through us, it will first be the Lord's doing, but it also because you are standing with us. And we very much want you to hear that. You are part of what is going on in our lives and what is going on in as we relocate to Italy. By the way, if you want to learn more about our plans or stay in contact with us, you can do so. We have a family website. I think we have a slide. It's really hard to remember. It's omeras.org. Really hard. No apostrophe, just omeras.org. But you can get connected, get on our newsletter and that sort of thing, and stay up to date with us and hear about our prayer needs as well. But I want to extend this out. I want to extend this out beyond just talking about us going to Italy, because as you hear Sovereign Grace updates from Italy or from Arnold or from Ethiopia or Ukraine or Belarus or Alabama or Australia or anywhere else in the globe, I want to encourage you to hear Philippians 1:6. God is completing the work he started, and your partnership is making a difference, just as your partnership is having an effect here at Grace Community Church. So brothers and sisters, let me encourage you. Join the mission of God. Keep up what you are doing. Continue to humbly open your hands and hearts to the Lord's leading. You're not renegades. I know that about you. You're not selfish. Your hands are open as bondservants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and your love is abounding. I'm so thankful for our partnership and the supernatural love of Jesus Christ leading this church forward. But I also want to encourage you to continue your partnership right here in this local church. As Jeremy and Chris are leading forward and putting mission before you and loving and caring for you so well, lean into what they're doing. Pray for them. Support them. Encourage them. Volunteer when they need help. These are commendable men. I know you know that. I want to just add my voice to what this church would say about you men. You are commendable men doing an excellent job leading in this local church. Let it be that Grace Community Church is a church fervent in prayer, even for their own leaders, as well as for those across the globe. And finally, I want to encourage you to look forward in faith. Grace Community Church's mission cannot be stopped. It's God's own power. The work of Christ cannot be stopped. The gates of hell itself cannot prevail against this church. You will continue to bear fruit, and you will abound in love for one another and for your brothers and sisters around the globe. The success of the mission of Grace Community Church so often depends upon the strength of the partnership, right? That's where we started with the illustration at the beginning. On the final day, we will give our offerings to Christ and the fruit from how we built. What Paul calls the fruit of righteousness, it's from the work of Christ in us. So what God is doing in you individually, it matters, and it is strengthening, and it is glorious, and it brings God such great pleasure, as Jeremy said during communion. God is pleased in you, and he's pleased with what's going on in Grace Community Church. He has a plan, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So let us throw ourselves in. Let us join God's glorious mission so that he might receive all glory and honor, and we might receive the benefit of partnership together. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together to look at your word and to study your word and to understand, Lord God, how glorious it is to be joined together as gospel partners. Thank you for Grace Community Church and for the partnership that my family has had in a long-standing way, nearly 20 years, over 20 years actually at this point, as well as Cross Points Church partnership with Grace Community Church and our joined partnership, our shared partnership with Sovereign Grace Churches. Lord, we pray that we would be fearless in following you, that we would join and run after you, knowing that you, Lord God, ensure the success of the mission. So we pray that you would receive all glory and honor, and we would be willing followers so that you, again, would be lifted up here in Souderton, across this area of southeastern Pennsylvania, and as well as in Maryland and across the globe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.